Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is June 19th or Juneteenth, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out our history of trading videos on johnlothiannews.com on the MarketsWiki Education page, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. CME Group posted a very nice Father's Day video on LinkedIn on Saturday featuring Tim McCourt, Chrissy Summers' family, Arthur Yu, Ryan Mahoney, Pavel Solyak's sons, and Steve Stasis. Speaking of Tim McCourt, on Sunday, we published a podcast interview I did with Tim and FTSE Russell's Catherine Yoshimoto about the upcoming Russell reconstitution on Friday. I also posted a couple of short videos to LinkedIn that are excerpts from the podcast, the first from Catherine explaining why the reconstitution is important, and the second from Tim explaining how to use Russell futures during the reconstitution process to manage different risks you might have. Robert Bouge's Kilt Challenge fundraising total is up to £21,459 after RJ O'Brien, CEO Jerry Corcoran, and others kicked in, bringing the ABN AMRO Clearing Bank CEO's total to 171% of his £12,500 goal. Help Robert get to 200% of his goal and support Futures for Kids and the Kilt Challenge. Robbie, USA Lothian, and Nicole Price have landed in London, and Julie Ross has been there since Thursday. The team is ready for FIA IDX 2023, including Robbie, UK Lothian. It is a good thing I did not come over for IDX, as on Sunday I tested positive for COVID-19. The symptoms are similar to my previous case in January 2021 of a bad headache and runny nose. Luckily, my wife did not test positive for the virus this time. I have had 4 COVID vaccine shots, so hopefully it will be a mild case again. Binance struck a deal to keep operating in the U.S. by having funds of U.S. customers in special digital repositories that would not be accessible to Binance's international operations or its founders, Chengpeng Zhao, several publications reported, including the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Optifer published a blog post titled, "A Day in the Life of a Student Trading Analyst." The CFTC's Market Risk Advisory Committee will meet on July 10th. You can see a list of the members of MRAC with a link in today's newsletter. The CFTC will hold an open meeting on June 26th. The commission will consider the commencement of a 90-day review period pursuant to CFTC Regulation 40.11C of Kalishi EX LLC Congressional Control Contracts. Which country owns the most Bitcoin? It's not El Salvador, which uses Bitcoin as its official currency. The answer is the United States. It has 10 times the amount of Bitcoin as El Salvador and some 94% of the Bitcoin in global government coffers, Forbes reports. The Financial Times has a story about Crypto.com and how it has internal proprietary trading and market making teams, and that this raises conflict of interest questions. While it is true that many markets don't need internal trading teams, there are examples of regulated markets who have done just that without any regulatory issues. Now, the other market makers slash members were not too happy at the Times about this, but the CME Group is one such example. Back in the days of open outcry, they deployed an internal market-making group in the currencies and some new products to tie the cash market to their futures products during Globex-only trading hours. The goal was not to make money, but rather to keep the markets in line and orderly. Of course, the CME board member who had the account clearing the trades did okay. The title of Bloomberg's Outlots podcast, hosted by Tracy Alloway and Joe Weisenthal today, is Josh Younger on the surprising origins of Eurodollars and Petrodollars. The subheading is, What Made the Dollar Really Go Global? Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. As referenced earlier, FTSE Russell Reconstitution Podcast interview with Catherine Yashimoto and Tim McCourt. John Lothian News interviewed Tim McCourt, Global Head of Financial and OTC Products at the CME Group, and Catherine Yashimoto, Director of Product Management for the Russell U.S. Indices, FTSE Russell, about the June 23rd FTSE Russell Reconstitution. You can listen to this podcast on johnlothiannews.com. Here is a story from Fortune. The headline, The SEC campaign to define exchange should concern every American, even those without ties to crypto. The Securities and Exchange Commission has opened a new front in its campaign against crypto. In its latest gambit, the agency is targeting the entire domestic decentralized finance industry by protesting a fundamental change to how it defines an quote-unquote exchange. If successful, the SEC could drive one of the most innovative sectors of finance, as The Economist highlighted with its 2021 DeFi cover, from American shores. My comment, I would expect no less hyperbole from the chief legal officer of the DeFi Education Fund. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Melinda French Gates says world debt woes need bold action now. Debt payments causing economic dilemma for African governments. China, U.S. must work together in this fraught moment, she says. Melinda French Gates is urging world leaders gathering in Paris this week to take bolder action to reform the global financial system and to offer a way out of growing debt woes for places like Africa. In an interview with Bloomberg News, French Gates said too many African countries are emerging from the coronavirus pandemic with debt loads that are forcing them to contemplate sacrificing investments in social programs with proven long-term benefits to make short-term payments. This comes as they struggle to raise funds to confront climate catastrophes. My comment, there are billions of reasons why we should listen to Melinda French Gates. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. The headline, He went after crypto companies, then someone came after him. Kyle Roach was a rising star in the field of cryptocurrency law until his career imploded. Who orchestrated his downfall? When he arrived in London in late January 2022, Kyle Roach was riding high. At just 34 years old, he had established himself as one of the biggest players in the burgeoning field of cryptocurrency litigation. He boasted a law firm bearing his name, lawsuits filed against more than a dozen crypto companies, and a huge verdict against the man who claimed to have invented Bitcoin. My comment, the crypto world is dangerous in lots of ways, including for lawyers trying to take it on. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most read story Friday was The Wall Street Journal's NASDAQ CEO Adena Friedman pursues a black belt in deal-making. Second was, surprise, the website Ireland.com's page celebrating Bloom's Day. June 16th, the day in 1904 when James Joyce's modernist epic novel Ulysses takes place. Third was the video on the NFA board update for its May 2023 meeting, which was produced by JLN's head of video, Patrick Lothian. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is from Bloomberg. The headline, The world's most feared investor heads for showdown over nickel. Paul Singer's Elliott takes on the LME in London case Tuesday. Fight over canceled nickel trades is personal for Elliott Boss. A decade ago, Paul Singer did battle with the government of Argentina and won. Next week, the notoriously pugnacious hedge fund boss is taking on a bastion of the City of London, the 146-year-old London Metal Exchange. For Singer, the case is personal, say several people familiar with the matter. When on March 8th last year, the LME decided to cancel billions of dollars in nickel trades as prices skyrocketed, Singer was appalled and affronted, seeing it as a perversion of the free market with few precedents in the modern history of finance. The next story is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline: Farmers worry $8.2 billion agriculture deal will diminish competition. Consumer advocates say Bunge's agreement with Viterra could drive up prices, while Bunge says the companies don't overlap. Farmer and consumer groups warned that the planned agricultural mega deal uniting the grain trading giants Bunge and Glencore-backed Viterra could leave farmers with fewer alternatives for selling crops and drive up consumer prices for food. Bunge's $8.2 billion deal to acquire Viterra, announced this past week, would combine two of the biggest global operators of grain shipping ports and crop processing plants. The planned deal would make the enlarged Bunge the world's second largest agribusiness company, with revenue of more than $110 billion, only trailing privately held Cargill. And then finally, here's a story from Forbes. The headline: U.S. government owns way more Bitcoin than any other country, so why aren't they selling it? Washington owns more than $5 billion worth of seized Bitcoin and has been reluctant to part with it. That may represent inertia more than strategy. From the increasingly ferocious federal crackdown on the cryptocurrency business, it might appear the U.S. government cannot stand digital currencies. Yet there is a love-hate dynamic. The Treasury is sitting on a stash of 207,189 Bitcoin, worth $5 billion, by far the largest such state-owned hoard. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day, and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.